slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. His holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy
of our sins, Lord. Please help us to keep from repeating them. We thank you for the lives you have given us and the land that we live in. Show us the way to worship you so that we can keep you in our thoughts for every waking moment. In your most holy name we pray.
Let all the earth rejoice.
read with me the responsive reading, brothers and sisters? I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So the Israelites had failed to show the holiness of God. Instead of demolishing them, he promises to change them, to pour his spirit in them, cleanse them, and make them holy. These two promises are the fifth and sixth of the seven. God promises to give us the Holy Spirit and to soften our hard hearts. With these changes, we shall be able to do God's bidding. God must show the Israelites the error of their ways so that they can realize that they were wrong in abandoning him and can worship him properly.
This is a key verse for the message today. And what this verse says is simply this. So I'll give you the message in a nutshell. And this is the theme of Romans, by the way. That nobody changes from man-made laws or from the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is powerless to change anybody. The only way that you and I are able to change is through faith in the personal work of Jesus Christ. And we're told that the Holy Spirit then indwells the believer and changes us from the inside out. That's what this verse is all about. I will put my spirit in you and move you, give you the desire to move, follow God's decrees, and be careful to keep his laws. Because without the Spirit of God, we're incapable. Without being born again, we're incapable. So we're going to talk a lot about that this month. Let me go over a few announcements with you. I didn't do it at the beginning of the service. And Chip's away from the microphone, so I can do it. Men, we still are meeting this Tuesday. And yeah, microphone or not. We have a few more weeks left in the study of the theology of heaven. It's been a great study. This is something that Angela is realizing right now. And we take comfort in that. We'll talk more about that going forward. And Tuesday morning, we will have our regular prayer meeting. And as far as I know, on Wednesdays, we will have the theological roundtable at 12:15. Brandon, who was the police officer that came out, his schedule's kind of crazy right now. Felt bad for him. I did the round table up in Tom's River, and he showed up here thinking it was here. And yet, I mean, to his credit, he looked at his watch and he said, I still have time to get there. And he came and he participated in the round table with us. So that was good to say. Leaders, I need a short meeting with you after the service today. We got to discuss time for our next meeting because there's been a couple of changes, you know, going on. So if you can do that afterwards, we'd be happy to do it. We got a lot of stuff coming up, from an ice cream social to deliveries and all sorts of things. So please check your bulletin. Mary Lou doesn't do them, so you can wallpaper your house. Read them and put them on your agenda for what is coming up. So as we go into the past, let me see if I missed anything. Oh, the summer lunch program. You guys were great on gravy, spaghetti sauce. They have all they need right now, so we're switching over to canned fruits or fruit cups of any kind. So if you can help out with that. Next delivery, by the way, is this coming Saturday, correct? And if you're able to help out, our delivery date as a church is August 3rd. There's a sign up over here. Sign up because there's a lot to deliver, and we can use all the help we can get, okay? So I would appreciate that. Okay. Doesn't like me today. It's a, doesn't like me today. We're still collecting for the high school. They keep their store open throughout the year. So there's a real big need there. I've received verbally a couple of thank yous, by the way, from the Board of Education and Lacey High School, because we've been one of the most consistent providers for that ministry. So thank you all for that. Let me go. Oh, yeah, yeah, the Ice Cream Social, right? August 17th, a month away. Man, you had your chance. All right, that's it. Bring me down to Romans. Right. Any questions before we start? Yes. The money. Okay. All right. As we worship in giving, I believe personally that giving is an important part of worship. Because it not only demands sacrifice, but it demands sacrificial sacrifice. And so, you know, as we give to honor God. We give to carry on his work. And we give, we're supposed to give with glad hearts, not begrudgingly. In fact, Paul says in Corinthians, I believe, if you can't give with a grateful heart, then don't give. Right? God doesn't need our money. But God ordained through the church that we support the ministry. So as we pray this morning, I'm going to pray for Tommy and Lorraine and the family before we take the offering. And also I want to pray for Donald Trump and his family this morning. Right? So are we ready to do that? Okay, let's pray. Father, this has been, in plain language, a horrible week for many reasons. Father, I pray that as we look to you for our hope, our peace, our comfort, that, Father, we would realize fresh and anew that you haven't abandoned us. And so, Father, I want to lift up Tommy and Lorraine and the rest of the family before you as they mourn the loss of Angela. I pray, Father, that in these days you bring comfort as they cry, as they remember, and as they grieve the loss. And Father, I pray that the memories turn into great stories that could be looked back upon and celebrate the life of this young lady. I also pray, Father, that as we progress in this, as we go forward from here, Tommy and Lorraine and the rest of the family would sense that you have them by the hand and that you'll lead them through this difficult time. And so, Father, we want to lift them up before you. We cry with them. We embrace them. We encourage them. And so, Father, help us to do that. I also want to pray for Donald Trump and his family. How horrible this is, especially to have a rally when not only the president is shot, but a couple of other people were severely wounded and killed. We pray for those families, our condolences, our prayers, for those whose life was taken by this horrific act. We pray for those who were injured that they would heal. We pray for this country, Father. We have removed all civility from this country. And I believe the reason is because, Father, we've lost respect for you and your word. in this hour, in this day, would you help both families? Lead them through, embrace them. And Father, we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. I pray also, Father, as we give to the work of the kingdom, that Father, my prayer is you wake churches up. I spoke with somebody yesterday whose church attendance went down to almost zero. Big churches are losing people. And then, Father, we have the churches who have embraced the woke agenda. It's unfortunate, Father. But those churches seem to be growing. We're not about numbers. We're about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray for churches in the area. And, Father, I pray for a renewal, a spiritual awakening. We want to see people come to know Christ. And as a congregation, we want to hold Christ high and lift it up so others may come to know him. Help us to do that, Father. Thank you for the good people who give, who worship. Thank you for being the one who provides, Jehovah Jireh. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you downloaded my notes, I'm going to vary a little bit from that this morning because things change, right? And for me, when things change, I feel I need to speak to them. So as I do that, bear with me. The title of the message is Be Encouraged. Is there anybody here who doesn't need to be encouraged? I think we all do. We need to be encouraged. The gospel is an encouragement. Now you say, okay, Pastor, it's an encouragement. There is a negative side to the gospel. Because before we respond to the gospel, we have to admit we need a Savior. And that's because of sin. And sin has condemned us to hell. We condemn ourselves to hell. God doesn't condemn us. We do. But he provided his son to encourage us and say there's hope. By simple faith, there's hope in Jesus Christ in the cross. As I reflect on the message, I taught Daniel at the theological school. We just saw Daniel at Sight and Sound. And not only that, we were taught Daniel. I preached on it. But there's a place in Daniel that's special in my heart. And I think it's apropos for today. It's when Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were sentenced to death in the furnace. Do you remember that? And the king's really pressing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to kind of recant and worship him instead of the living God. And when he pronounced the sentence, the king said, is your God able to deliver you? Right? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, being grounded in the word, said this. And if there's anything you can latch on to today, latch on to this. They had the right attitude because they didn't look at God as Santa Claus. They didn't look at God that he owed them anything. All they said was this: my Lord, God is able to deliver us, but But if not, his name will be glorified. Did you get that? But if not? The other remarkable thing about that story is this. Of course you know the story, right? It's a true story. They're thrown into the furnace. In fact, some of the guards, the furnace was so hot, some of the guards died at the mouth of that furnace. They put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in, and then they see not three people in there, but four. Right? That fourth, I believe, was the pre-incarnate Jesus. And what's the lesson there? It's a lesson that I need to remind myself of many times. That Jesus is with us through the fire. He's with us through the fire. We may not like the fire, but he's with us. He will never leave us. In this case, he chose to deliver these three young men. But if he didn't, he still would have delivered them, even in death. Isn't that true? So, listen, we all go through tough times. And listen, you know, life stinks sometimes. We know that. But I can tell you this, through the fires, Jesus will never leave us. And I really hope we embrace that. Because he never promised us that we would never have problems. We would never have challenges. Paul's speaking to these issues in Romans 7, and he's coming at it from a human perspective. And this is the perspective that he's coming from. And let me put the passage up here. He's saying this, and this is Paul's own words and his own struggle. Now, if you believe you're a super Christian, stop lying. All right? What I mean by that is simply this. We all struggle, don't we? And this is a kind of a long passage. I'm going to bring you through it. So read with me these parts, if you will. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ. In other words, when you came to Christ and put your faith in him, the authority of the law over your life was broken. Once for all, it was broken. Doesn't mean you still don't struggle, but the mastery of sin through the law was broken. And he says the reason it was broken is that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. Remember, one of my favorite illustrations is to say, before you knew Christ, you had a sign, I'm under the management of the world and Satan's system. After Christ, you have a new sign that says, under new management. And his name is Jesus Christ. So he's bringing this out. And the reason why we are saved, the reason why God sent his son to die for you, even though we didn't deserve it, is not just for a get out of hell card free. It was so that we might serve him and bear fruit for him. We lose that perspective sometimes, don't we? And arrogantly, Paul addresses this in this letter too. There are some professing believers who would say, well, listen, if my sins are forgiven, then I can live any way I want. And Paul says, God forbid. Then you don't understand the love and grace of Jesus Christ and what you have been saved from. And it's a sobering thing when you look at it. Listen to how this develops. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us so that we bore the fruit of death. The moment that you and I place our faith in Jesus Christ, a war starts. Not with God. The war's over with God. When when we're saved, I got to get my remote mic back. When we're saved, the war's over with God. And that's not because of anything we did. That's because of what Jesus did. But there's another war that goes on, because not only do we receive a new nature the moment we believe, but we still battle with the old nature, don't we? I have to laugh sometimes, because, you know, sometimes I'll meet a professing Christian and say, well, sin is no longer a problem with me. And, you know, I'll say, well, okay, I hope you're right, but I suspect you're lying. Because this struggle to do what God wants will continue until the day he calls us home. And Paul's very real about that. Listen, let's develop this. By now, by dying to what once bound us, meaning the law, we have been released from the law so that we may, what's the word? Serve in the new way of who? The Holy Spirit. Remember the Spirit said in Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart. I will give you the power and the desire now to obey God, right? And he says, not in the old way of the written code, meaning the law. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. The law is good. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law, for I would not have known what coveting was, what really was, if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Now, this sets up an interesting dynamic. Doc's a physician. If you go in and say to Doc, I got a pain here. Well, okay, Doc's going to say, all right, we need to find out what it is and identify the pain so we can deal with it. Otherwise, just a pain. You know, he could look at me and says, you're a pain anyhow, right? But it's just a pain. He's got to identify it. What the law did for us was to put a name to our rebellion against God. And that's called sin. In this passage, I'm not going to have time to go into all of it, but in this passage, we also see Paul saying that sin is hideous. God takes sin seriously. Sometimes we don't. It's hideous to him. It offends him. And it hurts ourselves and it hurts others. And so he's saying, look, the law was good in that it puts a name to the sin, and we could deal with it now. We can come before God and say, Lord, you see that Corvette over there? I really want that. Well, that's kind of coveting, right? I mean, you know, or, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Barnegat Police put out a bulletin to the merchants in Barnegat. There was a group of people going around doing smash and grabs. Why are they doing that? Because they covet. Not only is it illegal to do that, it's immoral. And listen, unfortunately, we started to do this as a culture about 30 years ago. We started justifying our sinful actions. I'm from a broken home. Yeah? Okay. So that's why you chose to do wrong? Well, you don't understand. I'm from a broken home. No, you don't understand. It's sin. It's sin. We start to, and then when that doesn't work, you know what we do? We change the definition of sin. Well, it's no longer sin. I was born that way. Oh, really? Okay. What you're failing to acknowledge is that we're all born with original sin, which is a rebellion against God. However that comes out, that's why we have this issue. But I was born this way. I can't help myself. Well, that part's true. You can't. Only God can change you from the inside out through Jesus Christ. But we ignore that side of the equation. Look what happens here. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced every kind of coveting. Wow. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Okay. What does that mean? It simply means this. I'll put it in very simple terms. Because of our sin nature that we battle with, you tell somebody that it's wrong to do something, guess what they're going to do? They're going to do it. Right? There's something in the fallen human nature where sin wakes up desires and covetousness that when we read the Word of God or we hear the Word of God and says, you can't do this, if we don't bring that to God, we're going to do it. You follow that? Let me give you an illustration. And I've used this before. My mother and father had a green lockbox in one of the closets in our house. And they said, no matter what happens, you don't go in that box. Well, it's not what you say to a kid. Because you know what I had to do. All sorts of things go through your mind, right? Am I adopted? Did they not want me to see that? I mean, what's so important in that box that I can't open it? Well, I opened it. And I also received a flip-flop on the part of me that gets educated. If she never said anything, I would have never bothered with the box. You understand what's happening here. We have this thing going on. And Paul really is being very transparent here, something we don't see too often in churches. He says, once I lived apart from the law, but when the command came, sin sprang into life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. Listen, external laws can never save anybody. External laws can never save anybody. It is only when we embrace Jesus Christ that now from the inside out, we're able to obey Jesus. And the attitude is much different. The attitude is this, that my faith says God knows what's best for me. So as I read his word, and he tells me the things that are best for me, the things that are not good for me, the Holy Spirit who lives in us will now give me the discernment, the desire, and the strength to obey him out of love. Out of love that comes from the inside out. And so, let me bring it. Goes on, for sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. That's, for the wages of sin is what? Death. For, so then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. The law is not bad. The law was put there to show us the character of God, that God is perfectly holy, and we're not. The law was put there to reveal our sinfulness and our need for a Savior. Because without the Savior, we have no hope. And even if they're being saved, we still struggle, don't we? Well, the Apostle Paul did too. Look at this. He says, did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful. You should underline that last line, because when we read the commandments and the Word of God through the lens of the Holy Spirit, we find out how dreadful sin is. See, the tricky thing about sin, and let me just say this right up front, the tricky thing about sin is that we don't need Satan to tempt us. We don't even need him around. There's enough sinfulness in our own lives, because we were born sinners, and that's the old nature for a believer, so that we mess things up. without Satan's help. But here's Satan's chief job. Does God really mean what he says? That was the question in the Garden of Eden, right? God didn't really mean that if you eat the fruit of this tree, you're going to die. He didn't mean that. So he puts doubt in our mind, and that fuels that desire for sin. Because the implication is God doesn't want you to have fun. God doesn't want you to enjoy. You're missing out. And all we're missing out on is the death that sin brings. And so, it goes on to develop. The best is yet to come, by the way. We know that the law is spiritual. It is. It talks about the state of the inner man, the inner woman. But I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. And you scratch your head and you say, is this really Paul talking? Yeah, it is. Because he's recognizing the struggle there is. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. You ever been there? It's a very real struggle. But you're not alone. One of the things that I really worked on years ago with a congregation was taking the masks off. You know, something happens when people walk through the doors of a church. They feel like they got to put their good Christian faces on, that the world is right, that everything is hunky-dory, you know, they have no problems and this and that. And it's funny because usually when people come through the door, back then and even now I could see it, I could tell that they're struggling. We all struggle. There's nothing wrong with admitting that. In fact, there's something very wrong not admitting it. Because then we can't do anything. We just keep on being deniers, right? So he says, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, I do. For, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. So what Paul is saying here, look, this struggle just proves that the law is not bad, it's good. It identifies sin. So what are we going to do about it? As it is no longer I myself who do it, but sin living within me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. In other words, what Paul did here was take a lesson from Isaiah. Even our best deeds are like filthy rags before God. And if we do stuff thinking that God owes us, then we're on the wrong track. If we do good things because we think that God will love us more, we're on the wrong track. The only reason why you and I are still here is purely by the grace of God. Not anything we did. He's the one that opens our eyes to the truth of the word. He's the one that helps us to recognize we're sinful and that the wages of sin is death. He's the one that helps us to recognize I need a Savior. You need a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. He says, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Listen. New Year's resolutions never work. So I'll ask the question this way. How many of you have exercise equipment where you resolved you were going to work out and, you know, lose weight and get back in shape again, and how many of those pieces of equipment are now clothes hangers? The reason why resolutions and self-determination doesn't work is simply because we are powerless. We can't do it alone, and we can't do it because we pull up our bootstrings and we go on. Well, those boots come untied very fast. We need to face life knowing that we are weak, but in Christ we are strong. We need to face life to know that no matter what fire we are experiencing, Jesus will never leave us. He's walking in the fire with us. Even if the worst thing happens, and I say that with tongue in cheek, for a believer, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But let's be real and say, yeah, we all struggle here. You know how many times I want to tell people on the road, you're number one? Do you struggle with that? I do. Yeah? I met somebody yesterday and it was only God who shut my mouth. Seriously, it was only God who shut my mouth. Because without him, I probably wouldn't have been a good testimony for God. And we can go on and talk about this, right? It says, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. For now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin living in me that does it. In other words, here's the external law. I'm told I'm not to covet my neighbor's wife, my neighbor's property. I'm told that I should honor my mother and father, and so on and so forth. We know the commandments. But knowing them doesn't mean we do them. It reveals that we're not able on our own strength to do them, and that we desperately need a Savior. And even after we receive the forgiveness and new life of Jesus, we're still in this battle, but now we recognize what's going on. And we can come to him when we blow it, right? John puts it this way. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all righteousness. But Pastor, what if I keep repeating the sin? Keep confessing. Because you know what will eventually happen? You'll get tired of hearing yourself. And you'll decide to turn it over to Jesus. Because you can't do it. Well, what if I do it 100 times? Confess 100 times. So I find this law at work. Although I do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. We all love God's word, right? Then he goes on to say, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. Then he says this, what a wretched man am I. This is the Apostle Paul. Listen, you want to find out what a wretched guy I am? Follow me around for 10 minutes. But it applies to all of us. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Wow. This means we need a rescuer, don't we? Here's the answer. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. In Romans chapter 8, Paul's very transparent here. He says, look, we all deal with this. But when we realize that only Jesus is the one who can change us from the inside out, now we have something to worship about. Because in Romans 8, it talks about living life in the power of the Holy Spirit. But it starts in worship. Now, no condemnation. No condemnation is there for those in Jesus Christ. But Lord, if we're honest, I'm a wretched sinner. but Christ died for that sin. Confess it. Repent. Listen. I often say this to people. People who... God forgives us through Christ much easier than we forgive ourselves. Many times we're too hard on ourselves. And this is especially hard for people with controlling personalities. Right? I got to do something. I got to do something. No, you can't. That's the whole point. The one who did something for you is Jesus Christ. He died so we could be forgiven. And then he gives us the Holy Spirit and empowers us then to live for him and to serve him for his glory. Are we going to be perfect? Absolutely not. That's why being in the Word, having a time of prayer and confession is so important. James says, consider it all joy, brothers and sisters, when trials come upon you. James could only say that if he knew the power of the Holy Spirit in him through Jesus Christ. Now, I say this, there's no pleasure in going through difficult times. Doesn't make us special. But what it does mean is this. You don't have to go looking for difficult times. They're going to find you. That's life. That's life. But I also say this. Remember the fire. Jesus will never abandon us. Even if the fire consumes us, Jesus will never abandon us. That's incredible when you think about it. This is the word of God that Angela heard. This is the word of God my brother heard. This is the word of God Rocky heard. Listen. As much as life hurts sometimes, be encouraged that Jesus has not forgotten us. That he's there to walk through it with us and bring us through in a way that glorifies him. Amen. I'm going to ask Melissa and Sharon. Sharon, you up to play? Okay. Chip? One of the things that I really don't like doing are funeral services. Nobody likes doing a funeral service. But when people know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, they are in heaven, joining with the chorus of heaven, singing these words, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Would you join in, please?
Our songs shall rise to
today, there's just one thing I want you to reflect on, as I reflect on it, how much God loves you and how much you mean to him. And that for all of us who know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we have a lot to do as we serve him out of love. Not because there's a law that says we have to, because he gave us a heart that says we want to. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. We thank you. Father, there's a lot of hurting people here today. Help us to be real with one another. Help us to be real with you. And help us trust you to lead us through whatever trials or struggles that we're going through. And we'll be careful to give you all the thanks and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Hey, that was pretty good. Have a great day.